Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Happy Wednesday, everyone. You're listening to All About Healing. I'm your host, Emily Francis, and we have the fabulous producer, Jay, on the line with us, always. And you know that I like to start with giving him my gratitude because you guys don't get to hear him. If I sound a little shaky today or whatever it is, I have definitely been dealing with a serious chest cold, and the show must go on, but please forgive me if I cough or hack. I'll try not to, and you'll notice that my voice is a little different, but that's okay. That's life. We have what's called blood rain coming from the Sahara Desert over here to the Mediterranean, to Malta. I think I talked about this last week on the show because it was just starting to come, and then it just, it really took me over. Anyway, that's what's going on here. It's really sunny here. It already feels like summer, which is a little nerve-wracking for us because Malta is so close to the equator. People here do not argue the scientific proof of climate change, and it's happening here really fast. So interesting to me is that some of the crops that are not usually able to be grown here in Malta and in Sicily are growing now because it's so much hotter. So Sicily has changed some of their crops to be mangoes and avocados, things that used to not be able to be grown there. And here in Malta, they're starting to grow bananas, which has never happened, and dates from the palm trees. That's starting to happen. And that's because it's getting so hot that even the seasons can't keep up with exactly when the length of a season is. And this has all been life-changing for me to be this close and personal and doing all these interviews and articles and books about the farmers and the fishermen because I've learned so much about the earth and working with nature instead of being oblivious to it. And this week, you know, we pre-record, so this will play a week later than what I'm talking about, but this week was the lunar eclipse, the solar eclipse, the eclipse in the United States. We didn't have it here in Malta, but I saw amazing photos, and so many people were rocked because they were reminded that the world is so much bigger than we live in our heads and in our immediate surroundings, and there's so much more to learn, to enjoy, and to realize the connectedness that we really have under the sun, under the sky, under the moon and stars. It's not really all about you the way that we tend to do our daily lives. I hope it was a good shake-up for you and that everybody's feeling a little bit energized and ready to go into the spring season with love and with respect and living a little bit more mindfully and peacefully, and I think we need it, especially over there in the States. I miss you guys, but I'm really grateful to be here in the Mediterranean at this time in history. Okay, with that, I'm going to jump off my soapbox, and we're going to jump into today's guest. We have Eric G. on the line with us, and he is the author of the new book, and I believe it's still on pre-order, and he's going to correct me, The Power of Personality. Unlock the secrets to understanding everyone in your life, including yourself. Eric, welcome to the show. I'm glad to have you.
Thanks for having me on. And it is available for pre-order, but probably when this podcast releases, it should be, it's releasing April 16th, so it will probably be in stores.
Oh my gosh, so the day, okay, so this is your book release day, actually, because next week at this time it will air. And then we will celebrate that your book is officially for sale.
Yeah, so we're living in the future.
And it will arrive. Yes. And is this your first book?
It is. It's my first book. And it was a bit of an accident almost because I was writing screenplays at the time or trying to get screenplays and pilots sold. I'm from LA and I'm in LA. And, you know, I owned an education company for 10 years, and the book is about personality typing and understanding different personalities, and I use that for my education company, and it just turned out that it's just a great conversation topic at bars. And then a friend of mine, when we were talking about it, said, you know, you should write a book about this. And I didn't want to do it, and I just was just so focused on writing, like, TV pilots and stuff. And then she put the ideas and kind of parodied them in the show that she was writing for, and that's kind of what, like, started my journey into, like, okay, I'm going to write this book then. And if it's that fun and popular, then, you know, I'm going to try to get it out there.
Okay, that's amazing. And I'm going to give you guys a little secret. Eric and I have the same literary agent, the fabulous Steve Harris, who we both, I'm sure you love him. I love him.
Steve's great.
I absolutely love Steve, and I'm so glad to have you in our circle.
Oh, yeah, I'm glad to be here. Unfortunately, Steve no longer, I know I talked to him, and he said he was an old-time Dodger fan, and now he's a Mets fan, which, unfortunately, you know, but still cool.
Oh.
But, yeah.
I don't know what's
anyway.
Happening, but you're cutting out on me.
Oh, I'm so sorry. But anyway, yeah, sorry. I must have bad reception where I'm at. But yeah, Steve's great, and, you know, I'm glad that you had me on, and I'm happy to be here to talk about my book.
So let's jump in. Give us, like, the elevator pitch of, I know you just said that you turned it into kind of a comedy, but I'm reading about the author. And you've performed personality type-based life coaching for over 20 years. So before we even talk about the book, tell me a little bit about that deeper.
You know, it's been something I've been doing for, obviously over 20 years in different facets of my life. So, I coached high school basketball. I was an assistant scoutmaster for a Boy Scout troop. I did counseling for merit badges. I did individual counseling. And then I started tutoring kids. And it's just been one of these things where I've done it for about 20 years, and it kind of embellished my life, and thankfully I was able to also get more into it while owning an education company. We had about 1,000 students a year, and so I would have my teachers type themselves and then type their students and also type the parents of the students if possible, and it helped to better understand that everybody's different and everyone learns differently, and sometimes the conflict between personality types really does affect basically our lives.
You are such a unique character yourself. Like, looking into your background, you graduated from UCLA, studied English literature and screenwriting. You're a classically trained pianist. You're a backyard trained barbecue dilettante. You're a 3-time fantasy football champion. That's actually really impressive. A professional mentor, an amateur magician. You own Utopia Creative. That your work has been shared on Hulu and Disney, and it's been used in universities and over 40 school districts. So let me put that out there to people that are listening. This guy is a heck of a writer. Get this book. So let's jump in. I know that this is sort of all the years of work combined and putting it out there. Why would somebody want to buy this book? Like, who's the target audience for this?
You know, I've asked this question a lot, and I always say everybody, because everybody should buy The Power of Personality. But, you know, it came about because, not to get too wonky into this, but there are certain personality types that only make a small minority of the population. And I think it's that the audience, if I had to say one audience, it would be that person who maybe grew up with different values than maybe society was telling them they should have. Maybe their parents were telling them, oh, you should want this. And deep down inside, they didn't want that, but their personality forced them to maybe try to assimilate, and they grew up, you know, feeling terrible. I think reading this book would be really helpful because it basically shows that, you know what, it's okay to be yourself. It's okay to value different things, and you know what, not only that, but you're not alone. There are people in the world, maybe not necessarily in your world, but there are people in the world that are like you, and you meet them, and then it's like, wow, okay, I'm not a weirdo. You know, there are people that, you know, have my values, and I think that's the why I push the idea so much, is I think oftentimes we accept differences in people, but those differences tend to be superficial, They tend to be things like, oh, they're organized and I'm more spontaneous, or they're talkative and I'm like, I tend to be a little bit more introverted, quote unquote. And I think those are kind of superficial character traits. And I think when it comes down to it, the differences that we have are actually huge value differences. And I think when we don't accept those things, that's when conflict arises.
Did you have to, like, did you grow up under one pretense, like, I'm going to be this because my family wants me to be this, and then you kind of broke free, or have you, because your background is so diverse with your different studies, and it just seems that you're talking about potentially yourself, that maybe you had to follow something that said, I'm really special, and I've got to figure out my own value. Like, what, where do you fit on this scale?
That's a good question. You know, my father was a personality type that was not exactly my type, but similar, so that we could still kind of share the same communication style, and that helped a lot. My mom was more traditional, and she would be part of the group that pretty much makes about half the population. So I would say my childhood was okay and free from the amount of conflict that might normally have if I might have had two parents that were very traditional and restrictive. But, you know, like, growing up, like, I saw that. And, you know, you watch television, even the things that you see that are pushed to us in society tend to fit this kind of traditional way, traditional values. You know, when you think about it, get married, have kids, own a house, get a job, 9 to 5, you know, so that you're safe and secure, you know, invest money in something safe, you know, those kinds of things, like, be dutiful, be responsible. Those are things that I think are pushed in society, and they aren't bad traits, but they are different than maybe someone who grows up with values of, like, wanting to get the most out of life, viscerally, wanting excitement, wanting to travel, wanting to, like, explore, wanting to take risks, wanting to, like, try different things and fall on their face, and that's how they learn. And I feel like those two kind of values can conflict, and then there are other values as well, and I think that's what I learned, is just watching kids and watching people around me and seeing that conflict.
That's me. I don't have to go through it to learn the lesson. If somebody that I love goes through it, I can learn that lesson by watching what they had to go through. And I've always wondered how that fits, because I feel like so many people have to go through it themselves, and that's not been the case with me. That really, I have a lot of friends. So I'm going to tell you this part, and you tell me what comes to your mind. But I have a lot of friends through many years of my life that had the most outrageous things happen to them. Not always good. So some really, really traumatic things, and then some really amazing things. But I feel like my cast of characters from high school through university through as an adult, I always seem to find people that really needed a stable friend, and they were going through such a hard time, and I would kind of come into their life to help them process through, and then I kind of would separate a little bit. And I always wondered that about me, that I don't have to go through this particular trauma to experience the trauma, because someone I love so much did. And the lessons and the things from it continue to sort of sit in the back of my head. Like, a friend of mine was very, very brutally attacked and raped and beaten and everything else you can imagine, except for killed. And it was by a stranger. So it wasn't any of that, you know, I was, you know, on a date, nothing. It was her getting into her car, and she told me all the story, and then basically said, I'm going to tell you everything, and then I'm going to forget it, and you're going to talk to the police, and you're going to help me with this sketch, and you're going to help me do all this, because I can't. I cannot hold this information. I'm going to give it to you. And I kept it. And I feel like forever and ever, it will be a trauma for me. And I remember her saying years later, I know that this affected you more than it did me. I know that you live with it, like, all the time. And I've always wondered what that is about me that kind of carries for other people their weight when they need me to.
You know, you might just have that personality type that there is a personality type that kind of attracts people with trauma, and not in a bad way. It's because people read that personality type just subconsciously as, like, someone who's a great listener and someone who could absorb their pain, I guess, in a good way, you know, and kind of, like, help them and not necessarily shut them out. And maybe it's, you have that personality type, so thus you're attracting that behavior, and then that personality type also absorbs all of that and takes it in and has, like, a strong amount of empathy. So I don't know if that's true, but in my personality typing system, it would be a panda.
Well, it makes sense because up until the point that I went to massage school and then learned how to use my gift of healing and helping people through, because I would help people through emotional releases with their bodies. But once it became a career, I no longer wanted it so much in my personal life, and I started attracting that much less, except for in my practice. And it became a good split of, you know, if you want that kind of energy from me, it's going to have to be paid, and I'm not coming out carrying it because it's not mine anymore. But it took me years to get to that place where I stopped kind of carrying for the victim, for other people. But do you find that in these different personality traits, people ever kind of jump ship and go into a different level of personality trait?
You know, that's like one of the number one questions people ask, right? Because I think people like the idea of change. I'm always like, people don't change, but they grow. And I think we can all grow into better versions of ourselves. And we can also grow into worse versions of ourselves based on our experiences and the way we react to them. So I do think, obviously, puppies don't grow into cats. They grow into dogs. And I think if there is a change and it's a good for the good, I think it's generally someone finding out their true self versus changing from what they once were. They might have been like, living for their parents or living for other values, and then after meeting certain people and having life experiences, they found like their true self and started following that. And so that's a healthy change. I wouldn't want people to change from what they truly are to something that they aren't, because that, I mean, they could, but that's just unhealthy, right?
So maybe I'm still always that person, but now I don't walk around with it wide open for people to.
Right, maybe you had a healthy way, you adjusted to a healthy way of being that person, because I'm sure it can't feel great to absorb all of that. So you're probably just like, well, you know, this is great, I want to help people, but I don't want to, there's got to be a better way to do it where it's not taking an emotional toll on myself. And I think that's just growing into a better version of yourself.
You know, I had a client once, many times, but this particular client, he was a multi-billionaire, and he owned the majority of the city that I used to live in, and I somehow wound up being his regular massage therapist. And I remember him telling me a story that he grew up in a pretty wealthy family, and they decided he was going to be a doctor. Like, no questions asked, you're going to medical school. And he started going through medical school and then had to go help with a surgery. And he got into the operating room and realized he hates the sight of blood. He cannot even stay standing. There's no chance that he's going to be a surgeon. And he almost fainted, and they made him leave the room. And he sat outside on the curb, and I believe he threw up. I believe he got super sick from it. And he had this epiphany where he was like, what the hell am I doing? I don't want to be a doctor. I don't want to be a doctor. And he left it and changed majors, got off the swim team, started smoking cigars, and like just totally changed everything, became a businessman and one of the most famous and wealthiest businessmen in the world that people write books about and things. And I always think about that story because if he would have done what his parents insisted that he did, either way he would have been successful. But this way that he loved doing made him ultra successful. And I think that's part of the opportunity to listen to who you are and then go in that direction instead of what everybody's decided you're going to be. But I think it takes a lot of strength, or you learn the hard way and realize there's zero chance you can do what they want you to do.
Yeah, I've had a lot of clients as well who just have, you know, coaching clients, and they come to me like, oh, you know, like I'm doing this, but I think I hate it. Can you help me find something that I actually love? It reminds me, over New Year's, I was shucking oysters with my cousin's son, or I was teaching him how to shuck oysters, and he has just graduated from pharmacy school, or he's about maybe a test away. So I was asking him, like, oh, so what do you want to do? You know, like, and he's like, I don't know, but as long as that's a job that doesn't involve me being in the same place all the time. And I was like, boy, did you pick the wrong school to go to? And so I suggested, well, maybe you want to get into pharmaceutical sales, like the business side of it, because that way you'll get to travel. You'll get to be able to do different things. You'll get to hustle. And he was like, well, I don't know if I want to waste all the information that I learned going through pharmacy school. And I was like, well, you only have one life, so do you want to waste that doing something you don't want to do? And he's like, oh yeah, I guess that's a good point. You know, and I think in general, I think understanding our own personalities is the most important because it's the easiest way for us to be happy. So
yeah,
that's why I stress it so much.
I think that's brilliant because I think people that go through a school like pharmacy school feel like that's their only option is to go be a pharmacist at the hospital or the drugstore, right? And even this year I met a pharmacist who now heads up a division of a company for their whole healthcare division, and she goes between Malta and Dubai, and she's now the head of it. She's not doing pharmacy at all except taking all of her knowledge from all of those years and all that training and turned it into a career that they created that role, and nobody had it before her. She went to them and basically insisted, like, I need to be your point person. We need to set this up. We need to create something. And I've got the goods to deliver that you're looking for. And I think that's powerful for you to look at somebody and go, okay, wow, you kind of picked the wrong field, but you can do something masterful with what you've studied. I think that's really cool. We got to take a quick commercial break, but don't worry. We have Eric G. on the line, and we'll be right back.
Emily A. Francis's new book, The Taste of Joy, Mediterranean Wisdom for a Life Worth Savoring, is all about heartfelt hints on attaining the most healthiest, fun, and inspiring life. By adding a bit of the Mediterranean lifestyle into your life, you'll explore the wisdom of eating mindfully, seasonally, and locally, as well as discover Mediterranean family secrets to health and happiness. And it's all in The Taste of Joy. Get your copy today at Amazon.com or visit EmilyAFrancisBooks.com.
Now there's hope for authentic healing. A new book by Emily A. Francis, Whole Body Healing, Create Your Own Path to Physical, Emotional, Energetic, and Spiritual Wellness, can help you discover a deeper way to approach your healing instead of using just the usual mainstream medical single methods. With Whole Body Healing and its extensive background of research, you'll be able to create your own healing path to achieve true and lasting results. Pre-order Whole Body Healing now at Amazon.com. You won't want to miss this priceless information. Whole Body Healing at Amazon.com by Emily A. Francis.
ASMC, the premier German company that supplies everything for adventure, from outdoor clothes to outdoor gear, even backpacks. Lots of quality and lots of specials. To start your adventure, go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ASMC.
You may never totally understand this man-woman emotional connection thing, but now you can understand your muscles' emotional connection in regards to your health. That's right, your muscles have an emotional connection. And if you want an easy-to-use blueprint to understand your muscles' emotion, then get Emily A. Francis's book, The Body Heals Itself. It helps you activate and heal your muscles on an emotional level. So indeed, The Body Heals Itself. Plus, it's filled with tools you can use immediately. Find out more at EmilyAFrancisBooks.com. Buy The Body Heals Itself now.
When you need a positive point of view, turn to HealthyLife.net, your 24/7 radio network for a better future.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to All About Healing. We're having a very interesting conversation with Eric G., and that's spelled G-E-E. So that's Eric with a C, E-R-I-C, and then G, G-E-E. He's the author of the new book, The Power of Personality. But he's also the creator. What's the company you've created?
It's called Utopia Creative, and we're kind of like a WeWork for creative people, even though if you're not creative, it's fine. Come to our space. It's a shared workspace here in Culver City, basically an area of Los Angeles.
Okay. I find you very fascinating because you really do have such a plethora of studies and things that you've put together. And that's exactly how things like this happen. I remember reading a book years ago when I didn't know what I was supposed to do with my life. I felt like I was lost for a good couple of years. And I read a book from Lawrence Bolt called How to Find the Work You Love. And it wasn't that it was just so massive to me, but it gave me enough nuggets of wisdom to start asking myself questions. And I know that that's kind of the beginning, is like we start with asking ourselves questions to see where we really line up. So take me through, if you want to go over the personality archetypes first, we can, or if you want to go over what questions you would ask. But what would somebody listening to this that still feels like, man, this guy's got it all. He's really pulled himself together. He's got this great program. He's done so many things. Why can't I do something like that?
I guess we could go through the personalities first. In terms of, it seems like the personality that you have, like that seeking, is not always a value that every person will have. So it's interesting. It tends to be a minority, like maybe like 10% of the population. So I think in general I could talk about, like, so there's four major groups of personalities. I call them gatherers, hunters, smiths, and shamans. And each one has a different core value. So the majority of people tend to be gatherers. So that's about maybe half the population. And that value is safety and security. So they don't really like hearing that because it sounds like not fun and not exciting. And yet the entire world structure is kind of based on that, right? Like we want to be in cities, or we want to have civilizations because they make us feel safe. We have families because they make us feel safe, yada, 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 right? But so it's funny because they often have what's called, you know, the midlife crisis, right, where they're like, oh, my God, have I been doing the things that I've been wanting to do? Have I just been doing the safe things? And maybe they hit them at, what, 40 or whatever. But it's funny because you sound to me like a shaman, Emily, because shamans, their core value is self-knowledge. It's like finding out about themselves, you know. And
okay. In
general, I always say, you know, shamans don't really have a midlife crisis because their entire life is a crisis, because they're constantly going, wait, am I doing the right thing? Like, I don't know. Am I doing something that I love? I'm not sure. I got to go seek it out. But maybe I shouldn't. I don't know. It's kind of scary. And I think it's just fun because, like, I think a lot of people don't really think about what they want. And I think if they really tried to figure out what their true core value is, then it would help them figure out not only who they are, but maybe what they might want to do with their life, you know, career or otherwise.
I love that. I would, when I started writing books, because I self-published 7 books before I ever got picked up. And this last book that came out last year was my 6th professionally published book. So I've been writing for a really long time, mostly as a way to heal myself and figure out who I am and what I want. But I had this amazing wizard of a healer, also one of my best friends, and he was an older gentleman. And my mom would always be like, you're going to drive 2 hours away to go sit in somebody's basement and there's no phone reception, and like, this is terrifying. And it was like, oh, wait, I trust this guy with everything. He was such a close, wonderful friend. And when my mom finally met him, he was like, I love her like a daughter. Please don't worry. But he taught me one of the most valuable lessons of my life, and it was to always ask myself these 3 questions at everything that I'm doing, which is, who am I? Like, really, who am I? What do I stand for? What do I want? And what am I willing to do to get it? And what I found was my stuff is not seeking that safety and security. For my husband, it is. And if he didn't have that, it would really make him crazy with the way that I'm kind of whimsical and dreamy, and I love to just, it's a pursuit of passion. I feel like I want to feel alive all the time and kind of jump down studying different things and learning as much as I possibly can, because that to me is such a valuable part of life. My mother all the time when I would write, she was like, my God, please get a real job. Like, stop, this is crazy. But that's just who I am. So when you said that, you're absolutely right. So, and I definitely know the people that seek that security. What are the other two?
So the other two are, and I love that, just the idea of a quote-unquote real job. That, I mean, that's just funny in and of itself, right, that there's a norm, right? This is a normal job, and then if you're a bricklayer or whatever, that's not normal, you know, like. But the other two are, so we have the hunters, and like, you know, they would have appeared in, like, a medieval society. Hunters all make up about a third of the population. So they're plentiful, but they die, right? Hunters, it's a risky profession. And so hunters seek excitement, like, but visceral excitement. And sometimes hunters might not like that because it seems like they're like, oh, that makes me seem shallow or superficial. But I'm like, no, no, it means that you want to get the most visceral sensation out of life. Like, taste everything, listen to everything, eat everything. And they're like, okay, that does actually sound like something I'd want to do. And then the second one is a minority type as well. They make up about 10% of the population, and that's, they're called Smiths, and Smiths seek information. I used to say knowledge, but if you say seek knowledge, then everybody thinks that they're a Smith. So now I say information because it's not as sexy. And so even then, sometimes you say that, and people are like, oh, yeah, well, I like to seek information, too. That must be me. And I'm like, well, would you take a drug, an experimental drug, an experiment on yourself to see if it works, if that's the only option you have? And then I just gauge the reaction of their response. So most of the time, or a lot of times, if it's a gatherer, since they seek safety and security, they're going to give me a look like I'm an idiot, like as if that thought never occurred to them. But if you are a Smith will probably hesitate, so they might not say, yes, I would take that experimental drug that might kill me, but they might hesitate at the thought and think about it for a bit. But anyway, those are the two other types. So we have those four, and you can see, like, those, having those core values often conflict, especially when you think of safety and security versus visceral excitement. That conflict is common. And it's also common because they make up about, gatherers make up, once again, like half the population, and hunters make up a third. So they're making up almost like 85% of the population. So, you know, that's a conflict we often see. Like, Bert, when we think of like Bert and Ernie, or the odd couple with Felix and Oscar, you know, like you get that kind of, oh, this is the rigid, organized, safe person, and here's the fun, spontaneous, like, wacky person. But there are the other two types as well, so I don't forget about them.
I'm definitely the wacky person, although I do crave safety, but feeling physically safe, feeling safe. Like, you know, like the way that we handle finances are very different. When I met my husband, I had no savings, no retirement, nothing planned. And to him, it was like, he has an MBA. He's you know, got his degree in computer science. This stuff is down to a T. He's got all the stuff planned out and all these, you know, all that stuff. And he meets me, and I'm like, well, if I massage this many people this week, I can pay this bill. And he's like, what? But that's just, I like to pay. I like to love my life, and then I know what I need to save up for, and then I go do it, and then I do the next and the next. And I know that that's very uncomfortable for a lot of people. And really quickly, before we go to commercial break, I used to always ride the gas at that zero tank, but now I've grown up and I keep the tank halfway up. Anyway, we've got to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with Eric G.
Trauma or joy, shame or happiness, guilt or empowerment. Let Emily's new book, Healing Ourselves Whole, be the bridge to help you release negative emotions to help you heal on every level to create more joy, more health, and more vitality. Our body knows what we might forget. It's time to rearrange your inner conversation into spectacular health and happiness, and Healing Ourselves Whole is your step-by-step guide. Find out more at EmilyAFrancisBooks.com and buy Healing Ourselves Whole at Amazon.com now.
Now there's hope for authentic healing. A new book by Emily A. Francis, Whole Body Healing, Create Your Own Path to Physical, Emotional, Energetic, and Spiritual Wellness, can help you discover a deeper way to approach your healing instead of using just the usual mainstream medical single methods. With Whole Body Healing and its extensive background of research, you'll be able to create your own healing path to achieve true and lasting results. Pre-order Whole Body Healing now at Amazon.com. You won't want to miss this priceless information. Whole Body Healing at Amazon.com by Emily A. Francis.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
You may never totally understand this man-woman emotional connection thing, but now you can understand your muscles' emotional connection in regards to your health. That's right, your muscles have an emotional connection. And if you want an easy-to-use blueprint to understand your muscles' emotion, then get Emily A. Francis's book, The Body Heals Itself. It helps you activate and heal your muscles on an emotional level. So indeed, The Body Heals Itself. Plus, it's filled with tools you can use immediately. Find out more at EmilyAFrancisBooks.com. Buy The Body Heals Itself now.
The Bright Side of Talk. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to All About Healing, and I hope you're enjoying today's episode. We have Eric G., that's G-E-E on the line. He's the author of the new book that just released as of this show, The Power of Personality. Unlock the secrets to understanding everyone in your life, including yourself. Eric and I were just speaking on the break, and I mentioned a little bit about my husband, and he said he would like to guess both of our personality types, and I am so game for that, so bring it.
Okay, so I'm going to guess yours first. I already mentioned that I think you're a shaman, and so my guess would be a humpback whale or a baboon. And I know that's like two different things, so I'm going to say those two, but I'm gearing more towards a humpback whale personality type. And for your husband...
What is that?
I'm sorry, the humpback whale?
Yeah.
They're a shaman, so their goal, of course, is self-knowledge. So within that shaman group, there's four animal types. And so it's cool because if you're another shaman, you can relate to each other, but you'll have different ways of going about doing things. Like, you know how you said you're like the wacky? You said, oh, I'm definitely the wacky type. There are other mm-hmm. personality types in the shaman group that will not come off as being wacky at all, you know. But for the most part, you guys share the same values, so you're going to connect at, like, a very deep level. It just, you'll do things differently. So that's why I said, since you said wacky, and, you know, the humpback whale tend to be vagabonds. They tend to, like, on their spiritual journey of life, they tend to travel. They love doing things. They would be someone who might let the gas go down to zero and go, oh, wait, the gas went down? Oh, okay, shoot. Sorry. And then they do it again over and over again. So that would be my guess, would be that type. They're like kind of like the Harry Potter, Luke Skywalker type.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
So there's a quintessential Campbellian. Is that even a term? Joseph Campbell hero? I think that's how we tend to see them in fiction. And for your husband, I'm definitely going with a gatherer type. And I think the only question I would ask is does he come off as more serious or bossy?
Oh, well, if he's at work, bossy. But if he's at home, he comes off more goofy.
Goofy?
He's a very different person not at work. Because, like, at our house, he's, like, silly, does a lot of dad jokes. He's such a great dad. And he's hilarious, absolutely hilarious. But he's really tight. He's so different and good to his little, who's ever in his wing. But if you're not, then he's much harder to reach. And as a boss, I remember walking in on him in a meeting once, and I was like, you are not nice. And he was like... And I was like, wow, I am not happy to hear this. I don't know this person. So he is, to me, very different as a business guy than he is as a real guy.
I would definitely, okay, so I would say he is a beaver personality type. He's a beaver.
Yeah.
And I say that because, so I was going to say he's a beaver type because as gatherers, they seek safety and security. But beavers are all about their duty, and so I'm sure he thinks that at work his responsibility is to, like, his employees to be this way. So maybe he doesn't necessarily feel like mm-hmm. he is a bossy person or mean. Basically, he's going to do whatever fits his duty. And then as a dad, of course, he's going to be fit, whatever he thinks fits his duty as father. Like, how should he be the best father? Maybe it's probably being softer than he would be. Yeah.
Yeah, he does. He takes his role of every part of his life very seriously. And definitely, he values taking care of this family, which works out very well because we kind of all have our space. We have two daughters, and they're young. They're 10 and almost 12, and I do find that every, and he comes with two boys also. But I find that everybody kind of really knows who they are in our home. And I think that's really
awesome.
Important.
Yeah, and it's cool to know what your kids' personality types are, just because then you know why you maybe, I'm not saying that you play favorites, but sometimes, you know, parents play favorites, you know, and it's not in a bad way. It's generally just because, oh, this kid's a little bit more like me, or maybe totally different, and that's why they play favorites. But either way, it's like you'll at least know the conflict that you're having. It's okay, and it's normal. It's just because you're a humpback whale, and then your kid is, I don't know, it could be like a fox or something. That would have a lot of conflict, actually. But
Does it have any relation to the zodiac? Because me and my kids are all the water signs. So we're Scorpio, Pisces, and Cancer.
You know, I'm more of a pragmatist when it comes to that. Like, I will say, though, the descriptions of the zodiac signs and obviously, like, the description of what a water sign would be do fit into, like, you can find a animal type that fits like a Cancer. Like, Cancers tend to be like bear types, like all about the home, sensitive, maybe a little bit more quiet and shy. In terms of the water, I always use, like, since we have four packs, right, four major groups of personalities, in the book there's an entire chapter that goes over the history of four, meaning, like, it's not something totally new. It's not, I didn't create this. Like, throughout history, like, philosophers, scientists, psychologists have been splitting people up into four. And one of the first examples of that are the elements. And I think that's kind of cool that, I mean, I know obviously the zodiac sign, you being water signs, that, you know, has like a specific kind of like connotation. So water signs would, in my methodology, water signs would be shamans. When you think of water, you think of like emotional, kind of like deep, quote-unquote deep, maybe a little tumultuous emotionally sometimes, and that's kind of a good description of a shaman. Whereas, like, a hunter, when you think of, like, the visceral, like, excitement, spontaneous type, you know, the first element we think of is fire, right? And then solid, safe, secure, grounded, clearly earth. And then the smiths would be, like, air types. They're a little more less emotional, a little more distant, a little more observational, and I associate that with air. But I think that would be the connection.
I love that, because I think about my kids, and they're both extremely sensitive, but they're different. My older one, that's the Cancer, she's very sensitive, very protective, she's very praise-driven. So if you want to get her to help you or be part of something, you have to do it by positive reinforcement, or it's a zero chance that it's going to happen. So I literally write to the teachers every year before she starts school that if you want her to like you, if you want her near you, you got to do some, you have to notice something about her. Even though she's so quiet, you need to give some sort of confident, beautiful praise from the start so that she knows you're really seeing her, because she is so quiet and uncomfortable in a lot of social situations, but dang, does she work. She's a worker. And then the younger one, she's so much more go with the flow, anything goes. She's very chill, and nothing really rattles her, which is, but she's also super sensitive and a mega rule follower. So the things that rattle her are when she's near people that break the rules.
Oh, that's interesting. And it's interesting to have both of them together, I'm sure. I mean, consider that those are pretty different types, you know. But, I mean, I guess they both follow rules to a certain extent, or they both respect the sanctity.
Let's take a break one before the younger. The younger one. And, you know, this is interesting, and then we're going to go to a quick commercial break. But when both of my children both have, they have a dimple under one of their eyes, but it's on each, one has it on the right and one has it under the left in a really unique spot. So they're like yin and yang. And to me, it was like, I knew they were meant, they are so close and they're, and 2 years apart, but they are the best of friends and it's been such a great match. Anyway, we've got to take a quick commercial break, but we have one more section left. The Power of Personality, Eric G. We'll be right back.
Emily A. Francis's new book, The Taste of Joy, Mediterranean Wisdom for a Life Worth Savoring, is all about heartfelt hints on attaining the most healthiest, fun, and inspiring life. By adding a bit of the Mediterranean lifestyle into your life, you'll explore the wisdom of eating mindfully, seasonally, and locally, as well as discover Mediterranean family secrets to health and happiness. And it's all in The Taste of Joy. Get your copy today at Amazon.com or visit EmilyAFrancisBooks.com.
Now there's hope for authentic healing. A new book by Emily A. Francis, Whole Body Healing, Create Your Own Path to Physical, Emotional, Energetic, and Spiritual Wellness, can help you discover a deeper way to approach your healing instead of using just the usual mainstream medical single methods. With Whole Body Healing and its extensive background of research, you'll be able to create your own healing path to achieve true and lasting results. Pre-order Whole Body Healing now at Amazon.com. You won't want to miss this priceless information. Whole Body Healing at Amazon.com by Emily A. Francis.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
If you have low vision or are blind, then listen up. There's now high visibility trendy sports clothing available just for you. At AwareWolfGear.com, you'll find attractive, stretchy, warm hoodies, headgear, leggings, even kids' wear to fit the duality of blindness, the need to be seen without drawing needless attention. Check out these trendy clothes for yourself or for someone you know at AwareWolfGear.com. That's AwareWolfGear.com. AwareWolfGear.com.
Music, information, and friends. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everyone. It's Emily's Energy Corner time, and we're not switching it. I'm keeping Eric on the line with us. And, hey, I made it through. I've been drinking yogi tea, throat calm, and it's been very helpful. Eric, where can people buy your book?
So people, you should be able to get it in any big box store, Barnes & Noble, and then obviously online, Amazon.com, bookshop.org, or try to ask for it at your local independent bookstore. I know Bookshop is great at getting it from there, but I always support your local bookstore if possible. And ask them. If they don't have it, ask them to get it in there.
Yes, ask them to order it. And here's the other thing. Go to your public libraries and ask them to order it. You will not believe how much more lucrative it is to have your books in the public libraries. So hopefully it'll go to the Library Journal and things like that for a review. But if you are in the neighborhood and you want to ask your local libraries, you just put it in their computer system, and then they'll have it forever. And that's really, really cool. A lot of universities carry the books and things like that, so make sure that you do ask. And understand that it's available now, but those pre-orders and the things that we're doing at the start of this book, this helps determine the book's shelf life. So everybody rally and come together. This is such a powerful book to not just understand yourself, but other people around you, so that you can, some of these things just have nothing to do with you. And so if there's certain conflicts or you know, clashes or wonderful parts, it's not necessarily that you can't get along with people or there's an issue. It's just some of these personalities don't really mesh with yours. I mean, I find I'm teaching my children already, and they're young, like I said, but I keep telling them when it comes to finding friends, and then in a little bit finding people that you want to date, the thing you want to look for the most, the number one, is consistency. You want somebody who's going to be a real friend and not somebody you have to worry about day to day of who's showing up and you having to keep up with that kind of energy. Like, you know, we want to surround ourselves with people that mean what they say, say what they mean, protect your name in rooms that you're not standing in, and that you know you can count on, because that's the friend I expect anybody in my life to be. It's the friend I expect myself to be, and God please, I hope it's the kind of thing I'm teaching my kids to be and to offer. And I'm going to keep talking for just a second, and then it's your turn, Eric, but I picked up one of my older daughter's friends, and it was a brother and sister, and they're the same age as both my kids. And they kind of ganged up on the boy because it was three girls. They started doing this. And I turned around and I said, we're not doing this. We're not playing that game at all. We're not coming to my house and behaving that way. And I said, we have one rule in our house. What is it? We practice what? And the kids were like, kindness. We practice kindness. And the boy goes, it's true, because she has the kindest heart of anyone I've ever met. And I thought, you know what? Mic drop. I'm done. My kid, that's amazing. What a wonderful thing to say about that, about my child as his friend, as his best friend, you know. But I do think that's really important. And I don't know how that plays into what you're teaching, but I do know that it's one of the most important things that's woven into what I'm looking for in a person.
Well, I really liked how you said the word consistency. And I think consistency is such a great word for it, right? Because what I found is, when people are really hard to, for me to type, the person, since I've been doing it so long, generally I'm pretty good at typing people accurately, but when it's hard and I'm like, wow, I'm not getting a good feel, it's generally because someone's inconsistent with their behavior mm-hmm. and their reactions. Like, they're not always the same person, and that generally comes from just not being, I don't say mature, that's not the right word, but I guess maturity is the right word. Like, when you're not confident in yourself and who you are as a person, then you're going to come off as inconsistent. And I think you're right. Like, you know, you want to be with people who are comfortable within themselves, because if they're not, then you really need, you don't really know what they're going to do. But yeah, that's
true. And I love how you keep up with that. Oh, that energy is exhausting.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, like, I love how you said before the break, when you were talking about how you told your daughter's teacher, like, look, this is what works best for her. So this is my recommendation. You don't have to use it, but like, the soft touch works best. Cause it reminds me of my dad, and he didn't know, I mean, maybe he knew about personalities on the subconscious level, but I remember learning from my dad, like, he treated every single one of my siblings differently. So when my sister, who was a hunter, he gave her all the freedom in the world. Like, you know, and that, maybe that's not necessarily socially acceptable, since, you know, she is the daughter, and I know daughters are treated sometimes in a different way, but he was just like, I just let her do whatever she wants. You know, and that was good for her, because she knew that's what motivated her. She just wanted to be free and do what the hell she wanted to do. You know, and for my brother, he's much like your daughter in that he responds well to positive reinforcement. He's like a hard worker. He is very conscientious and kind and dutiful, and is not really going to respond well to like the hard touch. And so my dad basically grew up calling him Mr. Wonderful, was his nickname, and it worked. And for me, he just made fun of me because he knew that I was motivated by having a chip on my shoulder. And so he always wanted me to feel like I was being wronged in some way, because if I felt like I was being wronged, that would motivate me to action. And I don't know, I just thought that was funny, that he had a different mode of motivation for each of us. And I think parents and teachers and anyone who's mentoring can use that in life once they know the personalities of their students.
I think, well, first of all, that's brilliant. And I do think that's super important, that you know how to kind of hit a hot button in a positive way. And it also seems like that would work wonders for people in the office, people that are in management, people that have to work with a large number of people, is knowing how to approach each different person so that you don't come off as you like these people, but you don't like these people. But, you know, in order to kind of gain a more consistent energy about you, is understanding how to gauge the people that are around you and how to help tonify the energy around
you. Right. Yeah, and it also would make people feel more accepted as well. Like, oh, it's okay to be me. You know, like, it's okay for me to have these values that I have. it kind of reminds me of
some of the most important. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, sorry. It kind of reminds me of this story I heard. This is a sports story for anyone who likes sports. Bill Belichick is Bill Belichick and Rob Gronkowski. Anyone who doesn't know them, they're Hall of Fame coach, Hall of Fame tight end. And Bill Belichick came Rob Gronkowski once, and he was like, "Hey, like, what's with all this partying? Like, you're such a hard worker, and you put in so much time in your craft on the field. Like, I don't get all this, like, partying it up and dancing and going to clubs and having your own cruise ship line or party line." And then Rob Gronkowski was like, "No, but that's why I do it. That's what gives me the fuel to do it." And Bill Belichick was like, "Oh, okay, I guess it's all right then, you know." And it's just funny. There's two people with totally different values, but they're able to appreciate each other's value system because it helps you guys work together to be successful.
You know, I think that part, the working together to be successful, and especially in the field and the area that you live in, I remember one of my friends was an improv comedian, and the comedians were hilarious, but a couple of them became really, really successful and moved out to L.A., and he kept getting these opportunities to do these jobs and also be a writer, but he would put his friends into the show, but he would never highlight their strengths. It'll come down to this guy. And so, like, to me, I was watching all the time and thinking, this girl is so wicked brilliant, and you are not showcasing her because you're so afraid she's going to overshadow you. And it, ultimately, he lost the show and went out of business, and guess who's really famous? The girl. And if he would have not been so oddly overprotective of himself and really been able to shine his light on other people like he intended by bringing them on the show, it really could have gone so much further. And I think about that because that's a personality trait that I think is, it causes such a setback, and it's unfortunate because he could have really shot to the moon with the cast that he pulled in. He knew the strengths. He didn't use them. Anyway, Eric G., it's been such a pleasure having you on. The Power of Personality. Unlock the secrets to understanding everyone in your life, including yourself. It's been a pleasure, and I hope you come back soon.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
Thank you. And for you guys listening, make it a great week.